Welcome to the Membership Machine Show, talking you through your membership website from initial idea all the way to finished product. Here's your host, Jonathan Denwood.
Welcome back, folks, to the Membership Machine Show. This is episode 142. In this episode, we're going to be discussing comparing YouTube channel memberships with having your own membership website. And we'll be looking at some of the other platforms that you could utilize instead of just utilizing memberships with YouTube. I think it's an important subject. Written up some decent notes, and I've got my great co-host Kurt with me. Kurt, would you like to introduce yourself to the new listeners and viewers?
Yeah, Jonathan, my name is Kurt von Annen. I own an agency called Mañana No Más, and we also work directly with the great team over at WP Tonic.
Oh, thanks, Kurt. So like I say, we'll be looking at YouTube channel memberships, comparing them to having your own membership site or using Patreon. Should be a great discussion. But before we go into the meat and potatoes, we've got a message from one of our major sponsors. We will be back in a few moments, folks.
Hey, running a business is tough. You shouldn't have to worry about your website, too. With Kinsta's managed hosting for WordPress, you get lightning-fast load times, enterprise-grade security, and 24/7 expert support from real humans. Switch to Kinsta and see site speeds improve by up to 200% with effortless migrations and powerful, easy-to-use dashboard. Join over 120,000 other businesses who also trust Kinsta. Get your first month for free at Kinsta.com. That's KINSTA.com. Kinsta, simply better hosting.
We're coming back, folks. Want to point out, we've also got a great course done by Kirk himself that shows you from beginning to end how to build a membership website on WordPress using all the latest technology. It's normally around $50. You can get it at half price. Plus, if you do buy the course, we will send you a coupon code that will take 50% off your first year's hosting with WP Tonic. It's a great offer. Where can you get it from? Well, all you have to do is go over to wp-tonic.com/deals. wp-tonic.com/deals. There's also some special offers from the sponsors and a curated list of the best WordPress technology and services. A ton of free goodies. What more could you ask for? So let's go straight into it, Kirk. So if you were having a chat with a possible client or somebody that was asking some advice, what would you, and they brought up YouTube channel memberships and they were thinking of just using that or a membership or building a membership website, how would you start the conversation?
It's interesting how we dive into these shows, Jonathan, because my most recent research on this topic shows that I really have some learning to do myself. I'm seeing that there's an awful lot of people that successfully create, you know, these communities, these subscriptions, these memberships through YouTube and Patreon and things like that. And you look at the different categories that they create in, and they can drive an awful high volume of viewership. But I always drive back to there needs to be some kind of central location that they can always direct or redirect people to. And that's why I think having your own website is so important.
Yeah, I think, you know, let's get right down to it, Kirk, or I think we should, or I will attempt to. You know, it's just convenient. You know, it's just they make it really easy to get additional revenue from your YouTube channel. But you pay a high price for that convenience. You know, they want 30% of everything plus, and that's a chunk of change. And you're putting all your eggs in one basket. If you get three strikes, they're going to shut down your channel. It could be copyright complaints that are unjustified. It could be competitors complaining about things that are not true, and you get a community strike. And as you know, and I know, dealing with Google and YouTube, and trying to speak to somebody or get any kind of response from them is a lot of the time not very easy. So I understand why people do it because it's so convenient. There are some restrictions before you can do it. You've got to, I think they keep changing it. It's between 500 or 1,000 subscribers that you need. Yeah. You need over 300 hours of normal length video to be watched. That's excluding short video, which is classified anything below 3 minutes. If you've just done a load of free short video, it's 3 million hours that's got to be watched. But it's so damn convenient. You can set up 6 plans. Fees start from $99 a month to $499. That's what the span that you can charge. It's got other limitations, but its main strength is the convenience, isn't it? But I think you pay a high price for that convenience. What would you say?
And here's where the disconnect happens for, you know, even experienced people like us, Jonathan. I can't help but get distracted by certain things. I met with a couple of very young professionals yesterday, and they talk about their YouTube viewership numbers. Like Kevin Geary's best show is like their worst show. Like they're in a whole other realm of possibility. And they're not just in the WordPress space. They're talking about stuff from a tech aspect, from SaaS and stuff like that. And so they're bringing in this giant, giant audience. And I think to myself, how would I possibly lure that big, giant audience off of YouTube and onto, you know, my own website or a Patreon or whatever we talk about in the rest of the show? And the truth is, I just don't think you can get the audience without the YouTube tie. But then you have to change gears and go, do you need YouTube's like membership model to make that success happen? Or could you just have the videos on YouTube generate popularity that way and still redirect them to your own property? And that's kind of like the mode of operation we typically discuss.
Yeah, but it is friction. We can't refute that. It's friction. And doing it for YouTube is seamless, but I don't really care how easy they make it. I think relying on just one platform to not only promote your business, but also obviously the great thing with YouTube is if you get a reasonable size audience, you can make reasonable money from AdWords and AdSense.
Yeah.
That's great. But would I want then to add membership to it? No, I wouldn't, to be honest. And obviously I'm in WordPress, but that would be the same answer if I wasn't in WordPress. I wouldn't want everything, you know, over half for them to be so dominant in my way of making a living, basically.
Yeah, I don't think I'm ever going to get over what we saw during the COVID crisis with censorship and big tech. Yeah. I don't know if I could ever trust a large corporation to be in charge of my clients' branding or you know, digital footprint. And so you'll constantly hear from me probably till the day I die that you need to own the platform that your content is on and use the other things as tools to draw them to your own site. But then that really is a daunting task in reality. We say it like it's easy, but it is very difficult.
Yeah. So on to the next most popular alternative, and that's Patreon. They seem, from what my research, they've from August, they've got a flat transaction fee of 10%. It used to be from 3 to 15%, I think, but it looks like it's a flat rate now of 10%. Yeah. And then you've got 2.9% you've got to add from Stripe. So you're looking almost at 13%, a lot better than the 30% that YouTube wants. Very popular platform, provides a website, other tools. To me, it's better than utilizing YouTube, but it's still quite limiting, and they still, in my mind, want quite a cut. And when I was doing research into them about a year ago, I did a couple of shows about them. They haven't got the greatest reputation when it comes to support and dealing with people that utilize the platform, creators. Yeah. I don't know if that's changed. I don't know what you know about that. What's your thoughts on Patreon?
Well, I tried to use it a couple of years ago. I thought, well, let's try this. Let's see if we can generate this as, you know, some other vertical of revenue in the grand scheme of things. And the interface from a creator standpoint is a no-frills interface as far as I'm concerned. There was no design, template offers. There was no frills. And you're paying, in my mind, you're paying a pretty penny to be there, depending on what you charge for memberships and stuff like that. And I think, correct me if I'm wrong, Jonathan, but the 2.9% to Stripe still has the 39 or 35 cents per transaction fee, right? On top of the 2.9?
Oh, sorry. Could you say that again? Sorry.
I think Stripe still has, they have the 2.9%, but they also have the 35 cent per transaction
fee. Yes.
And so what I saw a lot of people do with Patreon is try to say, oh, for $2, you know, for a $2 membership or whatever, because they're just trying to get, like, grow a list through it, like a list building tool. But that decimates margins in your revenue. If you're dealing with low dollar amounts and you're paying 2.9% plus 35 cents for every transaction, if those transactions are small on a percentage basis, you're over 10% of your money there. And then you're giving away another 10% to Patreon. It's not a great business model. And the Patreon system, the Patreon platform, doesn't really set up for premium creators. There's not going to be people in there succeeding with a $50, $75, or $100 a month subscription. A lot of the subscriptions in there are very low dollar.
Yeah, I think that's well put. You know, that's probably why a lot of people are looking at YouTube membership, because if you're looking at those lower amount subscriptions, I think probably YouTube, but then you're giving 30%.
Where
it's a lot better Patreon. You know, there's always a balance between flexibility and ease of use, and Patreon have gone the route of ease of use. It's very basic, isn't it? But it's very easy to set up and get utilizing it and get it running, isn't it? It's all right. So they've religiously kept to that, haven't they? They haven't. I think
it seems very simple. Yes. No frills.
Kept it simple. What's your remarks about when I last did research that their customer support and that, you know, hasn't got a fantastic reputation?
I didn't have to personally use any support because I was able to find enough documentation to get done what I wanted. And I drive back to the idea that there wasn't a lot to play with in there. There were no design alternatives. Wow. There were no themes to import. It was nothing. I mean, you got in there and you were like, it's either an open channel or it's a closed channel. I'm going to add these videos. I'm going to put in a couple of comments. And I'm going to, you know, put the rate that I'm going to charge for my subscription in, and that was it. There was really no need for support, but I didn't really grow the channel either, Jonathan. So, you know, maybe if there was a need for support on billing or access or something like that, I didn't have that experience.
And they do have community elements like live chat and other kind of community building elements, don't they?
I think they have the live chat feature. Never had to use it.
Right. I'm going to move. I put WordPress after. I think we should leave that to last, actually, and in the second half. So let's move on to the next one in the list, Kajabi. Totally different animal, really. They kept the Kickstarter at 89. It's not crippled or nothing, but it has got some severe restrictions on how many admin you can have and how many products you have. The next one up, they put the price up. Basically, they put that up to 179. For years, it was 149. Really, the only thing a lot of the influencers around building membership, they seem to be really highlighting community elements. And I'm not sure with every plan you've got the base, the ability to build community. A lot of the influencers I've been watching have been really pushing Circle a bit, or Fluent Community. I've seen it being mentioned more as well. But a lot of people on the SaaS side are pushing Circle because they're really pushing community. And Mighty Networks isn't fantastic. I know Kajabi bought a company and they've integrated community elements into their base product. But it's a totally different animal to Patreon and to YouTube membership, isn't it? It's a total different animal, isn't it?
Well, it is and it isn't. Like, on one hand, we're talking about you're going to become a content creator and create a membership out of that content. YouTube is, I hate to say, the perfect extension. I mean, if it wasn't so pricey, but it is. It's like the perfect extension from your content to the membership. And so when you look at things like Patreon, Kajabi, or some other tools we're going to talk about, it's almost like you're trying to filter away from that effort that you've launched in YouTube to build that. Kajabi, I think, is missing an opportunity in their marketing, Jonathan. And that is, I think they're getting big enough where they really could start like pushing their own directory of top creators and stuff like that, like YouTube does for their top creators.
Or school.
Like school, yeah. Because Kajabi, you know, 2 years ago, you had me on a show talking about Kajabi, and I wasn't thrilled. I had a client that was in Kajabi. I couldn't figure out the back end. It was clumsy. There was no alignment between what was in the back end and what I saw on the front end. And I'm here to tell you, like, I looked at it a couple of months ago after they've done some refreshing on the platform, and it's much easier to use. It's more direct for a creator to implement. And so I think a lot of the negatives are gone, and they have enough usership now that I think they're missing an opportunity. They could be leveraging their existing user base to promote within the way YouTube promotes within. And I think they would grow more revenue, more of a revenue base for their members, which would help them promote new memberships.
Yeah. But I think you're spot on. They must be looking at it, I would imagine. I'd be very surprised if they don't bring that out, actually, or they might choose not to. But I would have thought this kind of marketplace type of feature. It's not exactly a marketplace. It's a front end. Yeah.
There's a way to use Kajabi as more than just a course platform. So yeah. That's kind of what we're talking about, right? Like, we've talked about online courses before, but today we're talking about membership, community, about you know, gathering people together. And Kajabi has a way to kind of almost use it like its own TV station, like a series of shows. You can differentiate things, you know, courses versus themed pieces, skits, whatever. And you could really build it into separate channels within your Kajabi account, the same way you would with like playlists and YouTube.
Right. I think it's a good place for us to have our middle break. We've got some other platforms to give you some insights on. We will be back in a few moments, folks.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Lifter LMS, the leading learning management system solution for WordPress. If you or your client are creating any kind of online course, training-based membership website, or any type of e-learning project, Lifter LMS is the most secure, stable, well-supported solution on the market. Go to lifterlms.com and save 20% at checkout with coupon code podcast20. That's podcast20. Enjoy the rest of your show.
Coming back, folks, I'd like to point out that if you want to support the show, why don't you leave us a review? Basically, if you're listening on Spotify, on iTunes, on your phone, it's dead easy to leave a review. just do it, because it really means that we'll probably, the show will be shown to new people, and both me and Kirk would be very appreciative. So just leave a quick review and take a screenshot and show it and send it to us, and then we'll read it out. So let's go on, Kirk. On to the next one, Podio. I like Podio. The problem is their mover, which is $39 month to month, all the prices that we're going to give you folks all month to month, they charge a 5% transaction fee on top of the 2.9. The shaker, they don't. It's the next plan up, $89. I just think it's the in-between. I find Podio to be the in-between Patreon and Kajabi, because I think for a lot of people, Kajabi can be quite, I know it's improved, but it's offering so much functionality. And Patreon's very bare bone. I think Podio is that kind of middle ground. What do you think?
Well, what's interesting about Podio is you can broadcast emails to your memberships directly from that account. You don't need a separate CRM and automation tool to attach like you would with Patreon.
You do need Podio email though, don't you? Which is extra. For 2,500 emails, it's around $20 a month extra. So it makes it $109 a month.
But it's in one interface and it makes sense, right? So that to me is a benefit. I see Podio being I know you like Podio, Jonathan, and I see it as a training source, training tool, but I don't believe it has the gumption, the traction to be like a content membership, like building my video channel kind of thing in it. And I understand that Kajabi and Podio are very similar, but I just think Kajabi has more chops for what we're talking about today than Podio.
Yeah, I think you're right. It just really depends what you're looking for and where you're coming from. There is no right and wrong here. You know, there just isn't. It's case by case. I think, I forgot. So Kajabi, you still have to use a third-party email sending platform. It integrates with all the leading ones, but you've got to use a third-party. Is that correct?
Correct.
Yep. I forgot about that. On to the next one. Hopefully I'm pronouncing it correctly. Uscreen. Yeah. Starts at $149, but where people look at it really is the essential plan, which is $449. But unlike Circle or Mighty Network, where the lower plans, you can get an app for Android and iOS. It will have all their marketing all over it. At the 449 level, it's white labeled. You can get a white labeled app. Obviously, it will have restrictions on functionality. And I would imagine if it is offered, it's quite expensive to get kind of customized development done on a Uniscreen, but I don't know. I'm surmising this. But for a basic app, $449 is good value if you can white label it and have all your branding all over it. Apart from that, that particular case use, I don't really see why you would use it instead of Kajabi or Podio, really. If you don't just want to use YouTube memberships, you'd probably just go to Kajabi, wouldn't you? And I think they offer app now on the higher plans, don't they?
Well, this whole thing has my brain in a circle.
Yeah.
Because when I studied their pricing page, I really thought to myself, this is quite a bad deal. If you look at this from the perspective of like, I could potentially go down the YouTube membership lane and have my video content and do all that, because that's what we're comparing to, right? And we're saying, well, that's expensive. They're taking a big cut, so you might not want to do that. And then this is $450 a month plus 99 cents for every subscriber that you have. And so if I have 100 subscribers, I'm at $549 a month. If I have 1,000 subscribers, I'm at $1,500 a month. And you get 100 hours of video storage. And just think about like this show, right? We're on episode, what, 150-something?
Yeah. Yeah, 142.
They're like 45 minutes a piece. We're already over the limit. Like you wouldn't be able to keep all of your show's videos in your account if you were on this platform. And then it says it gives you an hour of free live streaming every month. Well, we stream, I personally stream probably four and a half hours a week. And I know that you stream quite a bit yourself, Jonathan. So there's, when I look at the creators that I talk to and the people I deal with in my agency space, they're, what they're offering as benefits of the platform all fall well below the requirement that my customers need.
Yeah, when I was looking at it, apart from the essential plan, if you're really looking for a white labeled app, it doesn't make sense to me, to the competition.
And I think there would have to be an awful lot of curation, moderation, and maintenance on this to keep the bandwidth and the storage and the numbers within their guidelines.
They've been around a while. I presume they found some niche, or they're well funded because they've been around. They have been around a while, haven't they?
Yeah. Well, and they do sell you extra storage packs for, you know, extra videos or whatnot, but they sell them in 100-hour packs. And, you know, my personal YouTube channel, I think, has something like 700 hours of video on it. And I know that your WP Tonic has well over 1,500 hours on it.
Yeah. Onto something that's really different. They don't charge anything, and that Discord on the basic plan. They have got a paid plan. It's really aimed at the, you know, Discord. Was it Nitro? Yeah, it's like their roots are in the live gaming market, isn't it? But they are utilized as a forum, as a community place. But I put it on because they do, they're part of a lot of conversations. A lot of people are utilizing them for, I don't particularly like it. Myself, what's your thoughts about it? It doesn't really wonder why I've added it to the list, but it does seem to turn up a lot in threads and discussions. And
I think it's a great addition, and it's worth talking about in the show, Jonathan. Anyone under the age of 30 seems to love Discord. I think you and I are just north of 30 a little bit, just a smidge.
Well, you are. I'm well above it.
And maybe that's our obstacle here. But, I mean, I can't tell you how many times someone says, oh, let me send you my Discord server and blah, blah. And I just, as soon as they start talking, it's like when people wanted to boycott X when it was sold and they said, oh, I'm going to go to Mastodon. You know, I'm going to start a Mastodon server. It's like the same, to me, it's like this weird, like outlier concept.
Well, so you're making a great point there, aren't you? It's the twin ugly child of totally opposite to what YouTube membership, really easy.
Yeah.
Lack of fiction. This seems to have a lot of fiction, but it's very popular because it's free. A lot of it's free, isn't it?
And young people love it. I can't figure out why, Jonathan, because I'm not in that space, but I work with a lot of college age students with some other projects that I'm in. And these kids, They all have their own channels. They all run their own groups. They all have their own conversations. When we have discussions about decentralized social media and you talk about things like Locals or Mastodon or Slack is one of the tools that some of them use, Discord always bubbles to the top of these conversations. These younger people love this platform. And I, for the life of me, I can't figure out why, because it's not easy. It's not plug and play to me, but they love it.
It's not too difficult. It's just the terminology. And I think the main thing that drives it is in a lot of people are really into gaming. I don't think you're into gaming because I'm not. If you're not into gaming, live, you know, team gaming, when you're that's its roots. And a lot of people, you know, not only young people, all sorts of age groups are really into gaming. And that's why I think it doesn't do too much for us because we're not in that scene.
There's also a sense of, and I am not horribly educated in this space. I'm just saying it's sense of. I'm not saying it's true. When I speak to these young folks that use Discord, that use it vibrantly, they refer to these topics like my server, my channel, my, like there's this sense of pride and ownership. Kind of like what we would hope people would experience in the WordPress world when we say, well, with WordPress, you get ownership.
Can you run it on your own server or is it just fully hosted by them?
I thought you could run it on your own server. Again, I'm not the expert in this.
That was in the back. I haven't checked that. On to the next thing, which you can run on your own server or you can utilize there. I did send you some revised notes through Slack. And that's Ghost. Because Ghost was started by somebody who was really had a lot of contributions in the WordPress space, and he just left the community and he started Ghost, and they've got a hosted version, and they've got, you can host it on your own server as well, and it's got a lot of elements of WordPress, and it's, you know, they're really marketing to the creator. And the prices start at $15, the next one at $29. I think you've got to have the $29 a month version to take membership. But it's got a lot. It's built its own, well, it's a growing business. And they really kind of push to the creator influencer market, don't they? What's your thoughts on Ghost?
I actually kind of got suckered in. You know how sometimes people that are in the space will say something and I go, hey, I should probably check that out. Robert DeVore got super vocal about Ghost back when he was really amped up about the WordPress and WP Engine stuff. And he said, oh, I'm going to disappear and I'm going to build in Ghost. And it was making these posts and these comments about Ghost. And so I went in and I tried to check it out. And I'll be honest with you, Jonathan, I spent just a smidge of time in there and I thought, there's just too much. It seemed like too much work to set something up and not enough features to make me want to stay. I'm sure it's going to grow and be awesome over time, but
I think you just got to go with the self that they're hosted. You go with the hosted. You know, you can run it on your own server, but I don't think you would want to really. I think it's just, and the publisher at $29, it's not outrageously. And then you got just the two point. I don't think they charge any transaction fees. You just got the 2.9 from Stripe. Nice. But they've definitely found their niche. I think they found their niche amongst influencer tech writers and influencers that just don't like WordPress, but like open source. But I say that the main product is their hosted version. Onto something that I wasn't going to put on the list, but I think it has, is Substack, because it's become a real, you know, amongst a certain type of influencer, a writer, blogger, a commercial writer, blogger. Yeah. It's a marketplace. They suggest other writers, and you can suggest other writers on your Substack page. They do podcasting, they do RSS feed, you can do live video on it now. I think you can do membership as well to some degree. You can set your own prices, you get a lot more control. It's not open source, it's a company, but I think they've made voices that they're not going to sell, and that you have to take that for whatever it is. The pricing, I've got it here. I need to get it in my site. So, of $5.50 a year. You can charge more, average around $10 a month. Subtake takes 10% revenue share. Payment processor Stripe, the 2.9 or 30 cents. So they're taking 10% Substack. But you've got this, if you're in a certain genre like tech, science fiction, or you're talking about WordPress, or you're talking about AI, if a Substack creator likes what they're doing, they can, and I think they can also get a cut, can't they? So it's become very popular, hasn't it?
Yeah. I don't know if, I'm pretty sure you know Anil Gupta from Multidots. He has a wonderful Substack channel. And it sends out, you know, he sends out mass emails. He updates things. He's recommended other authors in the space. And Substack, to me, as a community, it's almost the opposite of what I described in the Patreon market. It's attracted what seems to be high-level, smart, great, like, thought content. Like, it just seems like the stuff that you get referred to out of Substack, and it's been attractive to people that are high quality creators. And I don't know that, you know, I don't think you have to apply to get it, right? But I'm just saying what the platform has attracted. It's attracted some really great top-notch content. But when I drive through it, like as the possibility of using it for me, I drive back to that Patreon example. Like, yeah, it's got some features, but it seems pretty plain, right? It seems like a lot of control over appearance and feel and taste and things like that.
Yeah, but you got them because you like writing. You're a good writer. So I see it as a natural platform if you didn't want to use Kajabi or WordPress. I actually think a lot of people, if you're not, and I advise you, I just got to be honest with you, if you're listening to this, folks, I would advise you not to use YouTube membership. I understand it's totally frictionless. It's so tempting. And it's not around the 30%. It's just ownership that worries me about it. Would I use Patreon? If I was looking at something like Patreon, a lot of people do go to Patreon because I think they're influenced by other YouTubers and past posts. I would go to Substack. If I was looking at Patreon or Substack, I would go to Substack myself.
Out of the ones that we've listed, and I'm thinking from a content creation standpoint and gaining an audience, I lean towards Substack as well. It's so hard because YouTube, when we talk about building an audience, building a list, gaining viewership, YouTube seems like the obvious. And it's really hard, to compete. You could still host your videos on YouTube. You can still do that. But we're talking about curating this list of people. We're talking
That's the main problem, isn't it? Because you don't get the list with YouTube. You've got to get your list. And it's natural with Substack. You know, to some degree, it's natural with Patreon. You get access to the list.
Yeah.
But because it's a newsletter platform with podcasting, live video, they're adding these other features. It is bare bone, but they're adding these other features. It's a natural, if you're a good writer, you like making video, but you're also a good writer, I think Substack's the natural because it's a natural for building your list, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. And I want to be like super transparent with the listeners and viewers on this. You know, I'm a WordPress agency. I'm an agency, but I focus a lot on WordPress. It would make sense that I would write my content, publish my blogs, do my things in my WordPress environment. But I drive back to this idea that you need to get the viewership. And for me, it's like that viewership serves as the net that brings people back to my website. The website very rarely becomes the net. I'm not anybody famous enough where people are going to be so attracted to search Mañana No Más and go find my content. I have to lure them to my site with content. And that's why I'm talking about these other platforms.
Yeah. And finally, WordPress. WordPress, got to be honest, it's probably the platform that has the most fiction. but you get the most control. You get the most control over your business. You get the most control over your intellectual property. Second one, probably Substack. Third, it's a toss between Kajabi. Kirk likes Kajabi more than Podio. I like Podio more than Kajabi. It's a toss-up. It just depends where you're coming from. But if you're looking for the maximum control of your business, especially using some of the Fluent products, which we love, Fluent Community, and you can combine it with Lifter LMS. It's got a very bare-bone membership, but you can use it with Lifter or Learn Dash. It works with Cadence and Generate Press, Astra. It works well with all the leading page builders.
And it's about stripping 30% out of your wallet.
No. And you got access to Fluent CRM, Fluent Support, Fluent Boards, all the. And he did his launch for Fluent Cart, didn't he?
Yeah.
So he's really, him and his very large team, I'm talking about Jules, the owner of the Fluent family, got a very large and talented team behind him. It is more friction, but if you're with a good host and you choose the right plugins, it isn't, in my opinion, as long as you don't get sidetracked and load every plugin that comes on your radar, and you've got one or two voices guiding you, influencing you, and you listen, I don't think it's that difficult. You just need some decent hosting and stick with the Fluent and stick with either Astra or Cadence. And I think you can be up and running pretty quick, and you got all that ownership benefit. What do you think?
Well, and you didn't even touch on the thing that people seem to hit us up the most on, and that is freedom of design, freedom of user experience, freedom of... So you really have a lot. Like, we talked about Patreon for sure, Substack, not having a lot of liberty with design or look or feel. And with WordPress, you're able to build what you want. And with the right host, like with WP Tonic's hosting package and being able to pick from that curated list of plugins, you can build that and then you get it ready to go. It's already built and set up. I mean, if someone goes through WP Tonic, it's ready to go. Load in your content, put in your pricing, advertise your site, make some money.
Well, I don't think we could do anything more to make it easier
to
get your business up and running on WordPress, what we do at WP Tonic.
No, I don't think so.
I don't think we could do anything more. I'm going to start the ending and then we wrap it up. So I think I wouldn't recommend that you do membership through YouTube just for the reasons I stated. If you're just looking for the easiest way of doing it, not using them, I probably would say, and you're certain you like writing and you're doing podcasting and you're doing live streams, I would suggest you use Substack rather than Patreon.
Yeah.
And then if you're looking for more sophisticated marketing and you don't want to use WordPress, I'll go Kajabi. You're probably right. If you're going to go the Substack, it probably diminishes the attractiveness of Podia because you can do most of everything on Substack. And you're probably, if you want something better, you're probably looking at Kajabi. But if you can put up with a little bit more friction, depending on what host you go with WP Tonic, there won't be any friction. You're better off going WordPress because it gives you the most ownership. But I can't deny Substack. It has its attractions as well. So it's a cock up. I was wondering where I was going to go. It's either Substack or WordPress, really. What do you reckon?
Well, it comes down to use case and what do you want to do, right? Do you want to... Are you working on it? Do you have staff that's working on it? Like, it depends on your enterprise and how that lays out for you. I personally believe that having the ownership of the site and the control of the design and the user experience trumps the offer that Substack provides. And so, and I'm not even talking about the 10% fee, because 10% is not that big of a deal. I mean, unless you're selling hundreds of thousands of dollars of stuff, but not even thinking about the 10%, the experience tells me I would want to go the WordPress way. I want more control over how things look and feel and what the user experience really is for my people.
Coming. Yeah, that is the only problem with Patreon and Substack. It's very limited. And it's not yours. It's not, you know, it's the truth. But of those two, I think Substack has a lot more going for it than Patreon, in my opinion now. Would you agree with that?
I think so. Yeah. Patreon, I mean, I'm a former user. I wasn't thrilled to be on the platform. And I wasn't super proud to send people to it. Yeah. You know, it didn't have anything there.
Right. I hope you found this useful. So, Kurt, what's the best way for people to find out more about you and maybe book a consultation with you?
For business, Mañana No Más. We've got a book us link right at the top of the page. You can select that and select an appointment. If you want to connect on LinkedIn, I'm the only Kurt Von Ahnen on LinkedIn. So when you find me, you know you got me.
Yeah. And if you're looking for the best WordPress host that gets you up and running and get your business up and running in less than 14 days, go and have a look at WP Tonic. Kirk helps us out there. Got a great team. And we offer the best hosting package if you're looking to build a membership community on the internet. And I can say that in all honesty. We will be back next week with another great show. We'll see you soon, folks. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Membership Machine Show. Make sure you subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes and leave a rating to support the show. Until next time.